Hey, this is James Galt with God Encounters Ministries, and I want to share with you one of my most important series that I believe that I have ever put together with the Lord's help, and it is Global Prayer Storm. And it's my honor to be able to bring this to you. And I want you to know that every sacrifice counts and every prayer matters. And yes, and this is for you. This is not for an elite group of people. This is for everyone because every prayer counts. So let's dive right in to lesson number one on our global prayer storm. What is it? The lead verse for lesson number one comes from Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. And this time I'm using the Amplified Version, where it reads, "As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with a fire enveloping it, and a flashing continually. A brightness was about it, and out of it, of the midst of it, there seemed to be a glow, amber metal, out of the midst of the fire." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. And I declare that your word will not return void, but will accomplish your purposes. And I am even asking right here from the very beginning that there will be a Holy Spirit enlistment into the army of prayer globally, whether it is a first time or even like in a military setting where there becomes a re-enlisting. So, Holy Spirit, send out invitations into participating in a global prayer storm. Again, where every prayer counts and every sacrifice matters. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how did this start? Where did this begin? Well, some years ago, I was given an amazing, actually, not just a calling in this situation, it was a commissioning dream. And in this commissioning dream, it was just thunderstorm and lightning bolts that were crashing down. I woke up out of it, and I just want to read to you the brief synopsis. When I woke up from this commissioning dream and about the Moravian lampstand, I saw the glowing amber words written out in front of me in my bedroom, and it said, "Prayer Storm." Now, we have since adapted this into the GPS, and we each need a GPS, don't we? A global prayer storm. And I saw, though, written out in front of me in a seer realm, amber letters, and it said prayer storm. Emblazoned in front of my eyes, not only did I understand instantly what God wanted me to orchestrate, that it would be another part of the orchestra of prayer. And I also knew that the word storm would be a key word with this word prayer in this actual experience. And I knew, the divine knower knew that in this global prayer storm, it would be a call to prayer in specific areas. Now, I'm going to leave that part blank for now because we're going to develop these different prayer emphasis in this class and in these notes and sessions together. But the definitions then of prayer. Of course, prayer is not a new idea. Dictionary definitions concur that prayer is an earnest, heartfelt request made before God or a godlike authority. And so it's a spoken, or it can be an unspoken, what? Communication with God. It's an earnest, heartfelt request made before God, a request conveyed by a means of petition. So it is a heartfelt request to God for things to change. But let's look for a moment at the definition of this word storm. Well, what is a storm? Well, in the natural, a storm involves a disturbance in the air above the earth with strong winds and usually also with rain, snow, sleet, hail, or sometimes lightning and thunder. Remember in the dream that I had, there were lightning bolts and there was a storm. I wake up out of it and I have the words prayer storm. But in the definition of the noun and the verb, it's also a heavy bombardment of solid objects. It's a sudden strong outpouring of feeling in reaction to something, for example, of protest or laughter, a torrent of communication. Now that's interesting, isn't it? It's to attack or capture a place. To storm. See, we're thinking about it as turbulence in the like mid heavens or the heavens above us. But listen to this one. It's to attack, of course, to storm, to capture a place, especially a well-defended one, to suddenly or with great force, to be or to go somewhere violently, noisily, to blow strongly, storm. To a large drop amount of precipitation. So there are various scriptures, obviously, about storms. I think some of you who have walked with me for a while, you know about the Job 36:32 because of the encounter that I had in Toronto, Canada years ago. He covers his hands with lightning and he commands it to strike the mark. In fact, I have another book that has been written out of that verse, strike the mark. And the Hebrew word is pagah for strike the mark, and it can also be transliterated intercession. What? He covers his hands with, what's the word? Lightning. And he commands it to intercession. Because intercession paints the targets where the glory that is on his hands strikes the mark. And then there's many other verses like in other places in Jeremiah 23:19-20, see the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath and a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. Or in Psalm 83:14-15, like fire that burns the forest and like a flame that sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them and terrify them with your storm. Fascinating, isn't it? And there's other verses as well. So then we look at different verses and different understandings that I have taught in other series, like tending the fires of intercession and my materials, on like the lost art of intercession. But definitions of intercession, then from the Latin, the Greek, and the Hebrew, the Latin roots is inter, between, among, and involved, and seder, to yield, to go, to move, or to pay the price. So in other words, to intercede means to go between, as when stepping in between someone and his enemy in battle to stand in the gap. So to intercede means to yield oneself to help those who are weak and who need assistance, to create a pause and or an atmospheric shift that holds tumult at bay temporarily. Now, I didn't say forever. It's like creating a window of opportunity for things to shift. And so there's many different ways of looking at this. And but let's move on to another point. Intercession, intercede in the Greek lexicon. The first definition from the Greek is to light upon a person or a thing to fall in with, or to, listen to this, to hit upon a person or a thing by chance upon something, to encounter unexpectedly. A second definition from the Greek is to go to or to meet a person, especially for conversation or consultation. The New Testament usage of the words intercede and intercession. So we are more familiar with this in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our what? Weakness. Remember, the Holy Spirit helps weak people. Anybody want to raise their hand and say, I qualify? For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself stands in the gap. The Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us or even through us. So there we find it, because He intercedes for the saints according to what? The will of God. Well, let's look at another verse, Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, He is also able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He is always lives to make intercession for them. Man, I just love looking at all of this, and there's just so much to look at. There is also what I call priority prayer. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I exhort first for all that supplications, listen to this, prayers, intercessions, and grumbling. And that, of course, isn't what it says. And giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, we will look at that verse in specific in another lesson in praying for all those in authority. And then there's the Hebrew word for intercession, as I mentioned quickly earlier, pagah. It appears only a few times in the Old Testament, but each time provides another specific slant or perspective on the meaning of the word. It can mean to meet. So it creates a window of opportunity of a divine meeting of God with man. It can also mean to light upon, as in Genesis 28. So it is where then God's grace then appears, and He then is the divine helper standing by, ready to aid us in our intercession, moving us from just the natural ability to His supernatural ability, from finite ability to supernatural ability. Well, I think, again, I would like to have that kind of help. Now, listen to this. The word pagah can also mean to fall upon, attack, to strike down, and cut down. So that is more of a spiritual warfare dimension, and that is used in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 11 and 9 through 19, and then again in 2 Samuel verses 1 11 through 16, which show us how the word pagah can carry a warfare element, indicating the readiness of a soldier to fall upon or attack the enemy. And there's other ways it is used as well. Now, let's move on, though, because we have a lot of territory for us to cover in this very first lesson on a global prayer storm. What is it? So there we have looked very quickly at just some definitions, some scriptures, some definitions quickly from some Latin, some Greek, and some Hebrew perspectives. So let's look at, though, some things from like Hebrew and then church history and modern prayer movement history today. Did you know that in these, we call it 24/7/365. It's kind of like a common way that this is phrased today. But we're going to look at briefly historic sustained prayer movements, because that's what this global prayer storm is also a little tributary feeding into. So, Jerusalem, 1000 BC, and here's where most all of us are taking our template from today, the Tabernacle of David. And that's where the Book of Acts, the church, takes its template from, is right here. Jerusalem, 1000 BC, the Tabernacle of David. Under the leadership of King David, night and day worship and prayer continued for what? 33 years. I think that's an interesting number. I wonder, how old was Jesus when he was crucified? Under the leadership of King David, night and day, worship and prayer continued for 33 years and continued into the next generation under King David's son, Solomon. Both kings, listen to this, financed full-time singers and musicians. You say, well, where's that in the Bible? 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 33. Chapter 15, verse 16, chapter 23, verse 5, chapter 25, verse 7, and 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. The scriptures prophesy, and this is a very key point, a restoration of David's tabernacle, which has fallen. And it says it will be restored. See Acts chapter 15, verse 16. Now, in church history, in Northern Ireland in AD 555, there's the monastery in Bangor, Ireland. And this part, in for many of us, has been overlooked. The founder and the senior abbot of a great 6th century Irish monastery at Bangor was named Congal. I might not be pronouncing that exactly correct, but he and his disciple Columbanus initiated night and day worship and prayers, which continued, forget this, for over 300 years, and from which much missionary zeal arose. Now, I actually have a framed calligraphy prayer of Moses that was prayed and sung from the prayer sanctuary of Bangor. I absolutely love this. It's priceless. Now, One of the places that I have some history is, though, in I'm going to pronounce this differently than what some might, in Herrnhut, and most people say Herrnhut, Saxony. In 1727, the Moravians and the Moravian lampstand. Our global prayer storm is built a lot around the history of this model. In 1722, Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf was asked by a group of Christians, actually many of them were the persecuted Czech evangelical brethren, if they could cross the border from Moravia. That's where they get their name, the Moravians. You go, now what's that mean? It was a province, and still is today, in what would today be Czech Republic. And they were persecuted for their faith, but they were Czech evangelical brethren, and they were looking for refuge. So they crossed over into Saxony, or what would be today a part of what was East Germany, in order to live on his lands. And he was a rich young nobleman in a small community in what today is East Germany. He said yes, and they settled in a small region called Herrnhut, which means the Lord's watch. Zinzendorf himself had always been interested in a life of prayer and devotion to God from his youth. And in 1727, he began to lead daily Bible studies with them. And there was actually contention among them because they did not have the same doctrinal understandings on many different things. But a sudden time of revival occurred, which many have called the Moravian Pentecost. Number one of the first results of this outpouring, the day when the Spirit fell from on high, was that 24 young men and 24 young women, all were young, even Zinzendorf was only 27 years old, covenanted to devote 1 hour every day to concerted night and day prayer. This was the beginning of what became a, listen to this, not 1 year or 10, it actually went on for 110 years. So the way people state it is a 100-year-long prayer watch. Every hour of every day, someone was praying. Two, men and women of Herrnhut committed themselves to hourly intercession in order, in their own words, to win for the Lamb the rewards of his suffering. They prayed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The altar fire never went out. Their fundamental scripture was Leviticus 6:13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Number three, this prayer vigil fueled then in turn a missionary movement that touched the known world at that time. As the years passed, they then in turn gave the baton to others. Zinzendorf died in 1760, but the prayer continued unabated. Having just shared just briefly a little bit about the Herrnhut experience, then let's though continue to look at sustained prayer movements today. Now, I obviously have had some involvement there with the Herrn Hut dimension, because I have been on site there at least three times, if not four, and it has been my joy and delight to be a part of what is often called redigging the wells, then of prayer there. And if you'd like to read more specifics about that, that would be in my book, The Lost Art of Intercession. But let's move on then to, let's consider then sustained prayer movements today. And I've had the joy of visiting in Seoul, South Korea, Pastor David Youngi Cho's The Prayer Mountain. And this is globally famous because David Youngi Cho raised up what was the world's largest church for decades. It was the world's largest church of maybe around 800,000. I can't even fathom that, but plus. I believe the world's largest church today is actually in Nigeria, which is around 1 million. But nonetheless, it was David Youngi Cho's mother who was the prayer force that was behind her son. And there was this revelation that it was prayer that changes things. So I will not be able to do the pronunciations with adequacy. The Osanri Cho Oshi Memorial Fasting, this is the distinction with this one, Fasting Prayer Mountain, Osanri Province, then Korea, was founded by David Youngi Cho's Yodi Full Gospel Church of Seoul, South Korea. The Prayer Mountain Lodge, House of Love, can accommodate itself up to 20,000 people at one time for private and corporate prayer. I have visited this location and actually did some filming there. There's these prayer cubicles that people go into for a while, sometimes for quite a while. The key for them is commitment unto God with consecration, with prayer and fasting. They do corporate prayer, but what is astounding is the consecration of prayer with fasting. And this continues to this day. It might not have as much fervency, perhaps, as it did 20 years ago, but their model inspired many applications around the world. The next one I want to mention is from Kansas City, Missouri, the International House of Prayer. And I worked with Mike Bickle for over a decade, but it was the precursor when I was there to the International House of Prayer. So Mike Bickle and his team, and I would like to mention, and his amazing wife, Diane, have coordinated 24/7 365 worship and intercession. I think it's at this point in time over perhaps 22 years. And they sponsor or co-sponsor then conferences, webcasts, podcast, Night Watches, the Israel Mandate, and the Global Bridegroom Fast, and a university now as well. And Mike Bickle is a wonderful Bible teacher, and I have referred to him as many years as a revivalist. And he is consecrated unto this vision of 24/7, 365. Now, I want to mention another set of friends of mine, which are Mahesh and Bonnie Shabda. And it is in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. They actually have their church, All Nations Church, on the South Carolina border. But they established a Watch of the Lord. So the Watch of the Lord is a global prayer network begun by Mahesh and Bonnie Shabda in 1995 in response to the Lord asking them to watch with me for a while. So every Friday night, all night, believers gather at the Watch headquarters there in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, or online via their live stream webcast to spend the entire night in worship and prayer, and or other locations host similar gatherings that are networked with them. Expertises would be prayer for Israel, and another one would be crisis intervention. And they are known for their call to extended fasting that brings healings and miracles and breakthroughs. And there are many other examples of houses of prayer and prayer movements today, including the 24/7 prayer models. And one of them that I must mention would be Every Home for Christ. And there might be another name that is used, like the Jericho Center. That would be Dick Eastman in Colorado Springs. And I consider him today one of the primary father grandfathers of the global prayer movement. There, of course, is Intercessors for America, and in that there is a whole global prayer network of like different countries having intercessors for maybe Great Britain, or intercessors for different nations. There's the Jerusalem House of Prayer for All Nations with my friend Tom Hess. Or how about Tent of Hallel with Rick and Patty Ridings? The Reformation Prayer Network, started by Cindy Jacobs. And there's then the Sukkot Hallel with Rick and Patty Ridings, and in Jerusalem, and many, many, many others. Now, let's move on now, because let's get this ingrained in us. We are a kingdom of priests. You are, if you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a priest. You are a minister. You say, well, I don't wear a clerical collar, and I'm not necessarily an ordained minister, but you are a priest unto the Lord. We each are. So the New Testament revelation of this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Or how about Revelations chapter 1, verse 6, and Revelations chapter 5, verse 10? To him who loves us and who has freed us from our sins by his blood, and who has made us what? to be a kingdom and priest, to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they, and who? And they will reign on earth. Now, we, and in our global prayer storm, we are called to do what? Offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's why in the global prayer storm, I have now tried to use terminology now that I believe is a bit more accessible, where every prayer counts. Did you hear me? Where every prayer counts. It might be a prayer that goes, help. It might be a sigh and a groan. It might be the prayer of tears. It might be that you lock yourself in a room with prayer and fasting. But in the global prayer storm, every prayer counts. Now, why am I bringing this up right now? Because it's about offering up spiritual what? Sacrifices. It's where every prayer counts and every sacrifice matters. I used to use a bit more dramatic words. I used to use words that are a bit more perhaps inaccessible to the everyday person, because our lives are so busy. I want you to know out there, this is so intense for me right now. Every prayer counts, and every sacrifice matters. If you think right now that I just changed my tone, I did. Because we are called to offer up sacrifices. Hebrews 13:15, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. I got to get this across. In heaven, praise will not be a sacrifice. It's only a delight and a joy. It's not a sacrifice in heaven. It's just like, in earth, we go through pain. In earth, we go through loss. But here, we go through sacrifice. And when you offer up thanksgiving and you offer up praise through pain, through complexity, through questions, and through whatever it is that you don't understand, and you praise, guess what? This earthly is an opportunity that you will not have in eternity. And this is a window that will help determine even your eternal rewards. Yes, it is. And so I want to encourage all of you prayer stormers out there. You're going to go through some storms. And every prayer counts and every sacrifice matters. And I just want to encourage you just to say thank you. Just maybe even say, praise the Lord, instead of something else. Through him, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to him. Psalm 100:4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving In one of our recently quarterly update packets to our gym partners, we used the Passion Translation, and it says something like that praise is our password through the gates. And so here we find the golden harp and bowl and the altar in heaven. And incense of prayer fills the bowls, and the harp represents the ministry of praise and worship. And the angel takes the censer, fills it with the fire on the altar, and he casts it to the earth. And we find that in Revelation chapter 7, chapter 5, verses 7 to 10, and again in chapter 8, verses 3 to 5. And I love it. And whose prayers are filling those bowls in heaven? Are yours? Are mine? Your prayers count. And your sacrifice matters. And you can read those verses later on your own. Now, I want to close this out now by looking at the Old Testament topology, and I want to try to get a story in. See if we can get that all done in closing here. So, we are a kingdom of priests, remember? Now, there's the altar of incense, which is the fifth station. There's the five different stations. And at the fifth station is the altar of incense that is right in front of the curtain that separates the holy place from the most holy place. And we're given a lot of scriptures about how the priest, and you're a priest, is supposed to minister at this altar. And how about like just this one in Exodus chapter 30? Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. Aaron shall burn the fragrant incense. That's a key point on it. He shall burn it every morning until he trims the lamps. And when Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn the incense. There shall be a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer any strange incense on the altar, or burnt offering or meal offering. And there's many other verses. This one we have to look at. It's Exodus 30, verses 34 and 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices, stacte, onycha, gabonum, and spices of pure frankincense. Listen to this. There shall be an equal part of each of the four, with it, and you shall make incense, a perfume, a work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. Now look at the next verse, Leviticus 6, 3 and 12. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this. And then it says, and he'll take a fire pan. Okay, so you got this pan, and you got equal portions of all four of these ingredients, okay? And it'll be coals of fire also. So you got coals of fire, four ingredients made up equal each day. And then the priest carries it in beyond the veil before the Lord, two handfuls of finely ground incense, and bring it in, sweet smelling fragrance, and bring it in inside the veil. This is the law of the burnt offering itself. Then shall be there, and this shall alter, and shall be like kept burning on it. On and on and on it goes. And it's just absolutely amazing. And there's a whole lot more we could look at. Now, I want to quickly look at the four qualities of incense. The stacte, the onycha, the galbanum, and then the frankincense. And let's look at this. And then I'm going to try to close this out. I know this is a lot. This is really important now in closing, though. So these four ingredients are the incense. Well, why is this important? Because the Bible says that the incense is the prayers of the saints. That's you and me. So what, if we want to know what prayer is, then let's look at the ingredients. Stacte is the rosin sap that oozes from the bark of the type of a tree that was a day's journey. Listen to this. They had to go into Syria to get it. And it was oozing from a tree in Syria. In other words, it could only be obtained by walking into enemy territory. It cost the perfumer something to get the stacte. In the same way, it cost us something to go into enemy territory to gather the drops. And this word stacte is also at times translated the Word of God, which will bubble forth and ooze forth like prophecy. So you have to store up the Word within your heart, and it will then ooze forth, a bubble forth like prophetic prayer. And it's not an automatic pilot sort of thing. You have to study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, for 2 Timothy 2:15. So go into enemy territory, draw forth this oozing sap, store it up like the Word of God. Onycha. What is onycha? Onycha came from the shell of the mollusk that lived in the Mediterranean Sea. Again, it took some effort because they had to walk a day to this Mediterranean Sea area to get it. But then what they did was they would grind it. Have you ever felt like you've been ground down to like fine powder? Well, that's what happens now. They get the mollusk shell, they grind it down into fine powder. And then this is what, when it's burned, becomes the sweet odor. In a similar way, our lives, when they are broken before Him, Psalm 51, verse 17, and it's the fragrance of our lives offered on the altar is well-pleasing to God. Prayer is made up now of an equal proportion of this going into the enemy's territory, getting this sap and storing it up in our lives, and also brokenness in our lives. Gabonim, what's that? These seem like contrary ingredients. Gabonim means richness or fatness. Gabonim is the rich gum rosin that holds all the other ingredients together. Though it is bitter substance, it actually gives an important tang to the fragrance, and it reminds us of the bitterness of sin. With the Spirit of Jesus dwelling in us, we possess, though, His rich grace, which we exhibit through the lives of faith and praise. Now, Gabonim, though, is what holds everything together, and it has an element of, get this, we're a king's kid, frankincense. We all know about frankincense because it is one of the gifts brought by the Magi to the infant Jesus. In the Old Testament times, it is known as Lavona, which means white. In our prayers, we need the purity and whiteness of righteousness that comes as God's gift to us, not only because of our actions, but because of the sacrifice that Jesus has accomplished. Now, we've got to bring all of this to a close now. So the requirements of this incense prayers, the ingredients must be gathered from a long distance. Developing a true prayer life costs us something, and it does take time. Yet, number two, all four ingredients must be equally balanced. Some people camp around the Word. Others camp around brokenness. Still others around external holiness. However, we must bring a balance of all four ingredients. Number three, the incense had to be made fresh every day. It could not be made ahead of time, And we must have a give us this day a daily walk. And four, fire had to be added to it. We need to add fervency and zeal, passion to our prayer. Now, I would like to give us a closing prayer because it's let the prayer storm begin. Worship prayer and intercede as much as you can because it is a sweet smelling fragrance to the Lord, like burning incense in his nostrils. Let's pray together. Father, I present myself to you for the purpose of prayer. I join the host of others who are praying at this time. Come, Holy Spirit, and take possession of us all. Fill me with the spirit of grace and supplication in Jesus' name, and for the sake of your kingdom, I volunteer freely in the day of your power to be a watchman on the walls as a part of a global prayer storm for such a time as this. Amen and amen. God bless you.